Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I still remember the day about 9 years ago that I baptized a young man named Chris. He was an open heart, eager to grow in his faith, and after worshiping with us in Edmonton for some time, he decided it was time for baptism. And so to prepare for this, we had some rich and meaningful discussions. Especially, I remember the discussions about what our church believed baptism was and what baptism wasn't. Chris was particularly stuck on the idea of daily baptism, which is a phrase Luther refers to in his catechisms. We know that Luther was talking not about getting baptized every day, but baptism as being meant as a gift for all of life, an event to return to regularly as we grow, an event that can be a source of ongoing grace and forgiveness each day of our lives. Chris was stuck for a while, though, on the concept. He wondered out loud with me one day what the value was of going through all of his training and all the formality of a baptismal service on a Sunday in front of everybody, if he could, as he said, just baptize myself over and over again every day. I told you he was an honest and blunt young man. I then began my rather lengthy discussion, explanation to Chris, as I said, that daily baptism is not the same as rebaptism. Daily baptism is the belief that the promises Christ received in his baptism are promises that can be returned to. The promises that Chris received in his baptism are promises that can be returned to again and again and again. Day after day, we don't need to re-splash ourselves or re-dunk ourselves every morning, but we are in a real way reborn, as we did this morning, whenever we go back to the font and reclaim what God has done for us in our baptism. We are indeed buried and raised every time we confess and receive forgiveness, as we did this morning. The promises made at our baptism wash over us again and again and remake us today as they do every day. And this can and does happen day after day. And this was when the light went on for Chris. He had his aha moment. And he explained in one short sentence what I, a long-winded pastor, took several minutes to try to explain. Because when I was done talking, he looked at me and said, "I get it. Baptism is the gift that keeps on giving." There you go. Precisely, Chris. Precisely. Now, we may think that the easiest thing in the world is to receive a gift. But it's not always as simple as that, is it? There are often strings attached to gifts. Would you like this sweater? Well, you can have it, but only if you're going to use it. Often there are expectations that we may not realize. Yes, the money was a gift, but I thought you would put it to better use. Often our own sense of responsibility and independence gets the best of us, and we cannot accept a gift freely given. We say things like, "I'm sorry, that's just too much. I can't accept a gift like this." The whole idea of gift can become very hard work for human beings. We who are hardwired to live by the creed, "Life isn't a gift, you get what you deserve, you get what you earn." Now, having said all this, I realize that the size of the gift makes a difference. Flowers and chocolates and nicely wrapped Christmas presents are one thing, and we usually receive them graciously and thankfully. And they're fun to receive, easy to accept, because they don't affect our life in any major way. But the bigger the gift, the harder it can be to receive. Someone gives you a car, or a house, or a kidney. The discomfort rises. How can I accept such a gift? What's really going on here? What's the real motive here? What are the hidden expectations? This is too big simply to be handed to me. I need to contribute something. It's just too big. It's just not right. gifts. Listen again to today's scriptures. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And John 3, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Gifts. Big gifts. The biggest gifts of all. Listen to the list. Salvation, justification, forgiveness, freedom, eternal life. Can there be any greater gifts than these? We read these words and we, as I said, being wired the way we are as human beings, we get our back up, we get our backs up and start waving the red flags. How can this be? How can God just hand us all of this as a pure gift? And then the inner voices start to murmur. Because you see, we need to make sense of things, of gifts like these. And in our wisdom, we decide that some kind of payback is required. We need to contribute something to the cause. This is the way we were raised, weren't we? And so we come to God and we make our offers to God. I know how those beautiful songs go. I know all those songs, some of them quite contemporary, about raising our empty hands toward the Lord, bringing nothing but empty hands into God's presence. Our empty hands outstretched and open to receive all that God has to give. But brothers and sisters, that's not how it works in my life. Because when I come to God, I'm afraid that my hands are always full. They're always full. They're full of my good works. They're full of my good deeds. They're full of my achievements. They're full of my bargaining chips. So I just give empty hands lip service, I confess to you. But I don't know how to go there. I'd rather come with my tried and true, endlessly repeated speech, ready to go once again. Here it is. Maybe you make speeches like this to God yourself. Yes, God, I know that salvation is a wonderful gift, and I know it is by grace we are saved through faith. I have learned well, but I want to give something back, because you've given enough. Let me do some of the giving. Look at what I've got. Look what I'm bringing. I've got a life lived not perfectly, but pretty good, fairly pure. I've loved my neighbor mostly. I kept most of the commandments most of the time, I think. I pray, I contribute. So I'm not saying no to your gift, Lord, but at least let me do something. Let me do my part. It's only fair. It's only right. And on it goes. It is our endless deal-making with God. It is our refusal to accept God's gift for what it is, a gift. So let me be clear about one thing. A gift is not a gift if you've earned it. It's no longer a gift, it's payment. And we cannot pay for salvation. We cannot earn forgiveness and adoption and this wonderful new name we receive, child of God. We can't work for it. We can only receive it with empty hands, and I mean empty hands. Today is Reformation Day. It's the day every year. We made a big deal of this last year for the 500th anniversary. This year is 501. But the principles haven't changed. The main thing is still the main thing. This is the day every year where we remember Martin Luther's rediscovery of the truth that we come to God with empty hands. And into these empty hands, God places one thing, and that is the cross on which his Son died and welcomes us through this cross into life and forgiveness and new birth. In the church, we call all of this justification, and it's been a word proclaimed and repeated endlessly ever since that first Reformation Day. Justification. It is a repetitive word that I know I preach over and over again, week after week. And why is that? Well, let's ask Martin Luther himself to explain. Here's what he said about it. He said, I preach justification by faith every week to my people because every week they forget it. Amen, Martin. So these are my words. I can use his words as my justification to preach on justification as often as I do, because I forget and we forget. So hear it again, people of God. We are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. It is a gift handed to us, not on a silver platter, but handed to us on the blood-stained cross of the Son of God. Undeserved, unearned, unexpected. It is the gift that keeps on giving. Dear friends, don't forget this day. Don't forget. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.